tonight, like I said, we have the Shoemakers with us, and Brother Keith, I believe, is going to come up and just share a ministry update.
Well, it's a joy and a blessing to be with you this evening, and it's kind of a last-minute thing, but it's we came in actually for a couple of things, but the main things were our two daughters were getting married this summer, and so Emily and Meredith, and they got married a week apart. And so last Friday, I guess just a couple days ago, Meredith got married, and the Friday before that, Emily got married. Turn the mic on. I'm on green, brother. So I believe we are on green. So anyhow, we appreciate what the Lord did, and the Lord worked everything out and allowed those things to get done and finished. And I appreciate, and I was sharing that this morning with the church that I was at. The pastor asked me to teach some of the young men on purity and on courtship and those things. And one of the beautiful things and amazing things was that our daughters chose to do things in the right way. And so it really made it really easy on us. And God rewarded their faithfulness and gave them two men that also want to do things in the right way. And they both went to the marriage altar pure, and everything was beautiful. And I know sometimes with some people's marriages, it's almost like at the wedding day, there's people that are about this or that frustrated. But for us, it was just a complete joy, and it was a blessing. And so we praise the Lord for that. But the ministry there in Burkina Faso keeps marching on. God's good. I say this all the time. I believe that God's still working until Jesus comes back. I believe the day of God's working on this earth is not past us, nor behind us, but I believe it's still in front of us. I'm watching God do a great work in many churches all across the world. Matter of fact, I'm watching God do great works in churches here still in America. There's some that have given up and said, well, God can't do anything. And the reason why is because they're not doing anything. But God still blesses work, and God still blesses those that attempt to do something great for God, and God's still working. And so we praise the Lord for what He's doing. I was going to read a verse for you tonight, Philippians chapter number 4, and verse number, let me get to the verse here. I think it's verse number 16, or 17, if I'm not mistaken. The Apostle Paul is talking to the Philippian church here, and he's just trying to encourage them, and he's talking about how their gift was a blessing. And what they had sent to him. And he says, not because I desire a gift, but a desire of fruit that may abound to your account. And so I understand the heart of the Apostle Paul here, as me as a missionary. And so one of the things that, I will say that I've stopped using the word, and I shouldn't say I stopped it totally because it still comes out. And so it's not a good word to use, but there's another word that I like using instead of support. I like to use the word investment. And I just want to thank you so much for your investment throughout the years, because I believe that's what missions given is all about. And when we look at this verse right here, that's what the Apostle Paul's saying. He's saying that, he's basically not saying, it's not just you giving a gift. It's not just you supporting us. It's actually you're investing in the Lord's work. And so everything that God has done there in West Africa through me and my wife, through the 23 years that we've been over there, you have had a part in that. And what a blessing that is. And we appreciate you for your faithful support, your faithful investment for so many years. God has been so good. I don't keep numbers throughout all the years, but literally there's thousands upon thousands that have been saved by the grace of God. There in the country of Burkina Faso, where I think we're about church number 30 right now, that has been started there in the country of Burkina Faso. And we're still praying God gives us a lot more. We have a difficult situation there in Burkina Faso right now. Pray for us. We've got a government that is turning communist, a government that's turning against the West, and they have been done wrong for many years, from France and other people. And so I understand why they're frustrated. And then we've also got terrorism. And if you look at the terrorism, number one country in the world that's affected by terrorism, you'll find on the top of the list, you will find Burkina Faso. Now, you don't hear about it. It's because a lot of the countries that are small, like Burkina Faso, you don't hear about the problems. But West Africa has become a hot spot throughout Mali and Niger and Burkina Faso. And so continue to pray for us that the Lord would continue to help us to expand and grow. A couple of our churches, actually, I mentioned 30. A couple of them actually have had to close down because basically there's no one left in those villages anymore. And if you would have... A few years ago, I probably would have cried over the fact that that we had built a building in that village, a church building, but now that I realize that the importance is not really the church building, the important was what happened in that church building. And there was hundreds in each of those villages that gave their life to Christ. And so they're saved by the grace of God. A lot of them have moved into one of the cities, and so they're still going to church. A lot of them we're still in contact with, and maybe in the future they'll be able to move back out into their villages. We don't know. But all I know to do, and that's what, is just keep marching on. Amen. And so I believe God's still doing a great job. God's still saving souls. God's still changing lives. God's still calling young men to preach. I know that it's a lack all across the world. I've gone to Togo, I've gone to the Ivory Coast and Burkina Faso, and I hear in America a lot of churches are saying there's a whole lot of people that haven't given their lives to preach, but God still is doing that, and so we're still training men, and we appreciate what God's doing there through all of that. So thank you so much for your faithful support throughout the years, and we're heading back, and also we've got camps that are going on. As soon as we get back, July the 7th, we'll fly out, and we've got pastors' camps. That's, we bring the pastors in and their families in and their children in, and we try to have a big, nice, fun time with the families, and also encourage the wives and the children. A lot of times when I have pastors' conferences, just the pastors come, and so we like to have the wives come, and they don't have the money, they don't have the means, they don't have a place to go to have a vacation, and so for them it's kind of like a vacation, and we always try to make it very, very special for them, and so we'll have two camps this summer. We'll have our teen camp, and then we'll have our young adult camp. And both of them will probably have somewhere around 150 at both camps. And so we pray for that. That'll happen in August, just here in a short time, and we'll continue on. So the Lord has certainly been good to us, and I'm going to share a little bit more when I come back while I preach a little bit more about some testimonies. But I wanted to share this story about this young man by the name of Gregory. Gregory actually this morning he's become my assistant pastor at the church that I currently pastor, and he's helping me out, and he just became that. But this is just a great testimony of what your investment has done in the life of Gregory, but not only Gregory and so many others. Gregory came to when we started back in 2007 or 8, me and my wife with three of the young guys that we were training, we went out to a small area a couple miles south of where we were at. I think about five miles south of where I lived, and we went there and we started a kids club. And so I was using that to help train the men. And so one of those men that was helping us, he ended up becoming the pastor of that church in 2009, started the church. And he continued that kids club on Wednesday, so he'd have anywhere from 50 to 75 kids coming. And so this young kid, now he's not young, but this young man, in 2000, I don't know what time, what year he came, but he started coming, and he was coming to that kids club, and he was faithful there for a couple of years. And then his father and his mother, I don't know exactly why his mother separated from his father, but his father had multiple wives, and so she ended up coming to the city. But his father lived back in a village a couple hours away, but his father asked for Gregory to come back. And so about 14 or 15, he came back to his father's house there in the village, and his father was the village witch doctor. And so everybody came to him for what they wanted, and he would put the call out to these gods and these spells, and of course we know it's all about the demons and everything else. And so after a little time, he tried to get Gregory to learn how to do what he did, because he said he needed somebody to take his place. Well, Gregory never had got saved when he first was at our church and in those kids club, but Gregory got enough God and enough Bible in him throughout those children's ministry to know that what his father was doing was wrong. And so Gregory said no. Well, when he said no to his father wasn't very happy. So his father did everything that he beat him, he talked bad to him, he tried to force him. So for the next year or two, he made it very hard on Gregory. But finally, his father gave up and sent him back to his mother. Well, when he showed up back to his mother's house, he said, "Mom, where is that church that I used to go to a few years ago when I was a kid?" And he went there, and he went there for a few months, and by God's grace, he got born again. Amen? And then God called him to preach, and he started coming, and we started training him, and we pulled him over to our church, and he's become my assistant pastor. And so that's just one of the testimony of literally thousands of lives that have been changed through what you have invested in. And so what a blessing it is. And I don't know how God's going to work it out one day, but I do know one thing. God is fair in all things. Amen. And He is a just judge, and He knows how to work it all out. And so when you give and you faithfully give and you faithfully invest, there's going to be rewards in heaven for those of us that are doing what God wants us to do. And so we'll stop there for now, and we'll pick it back up once we get back. All right.
Man, that was a blessing, wasn't it? Man, let's go ahead and stand once again. We'll sing our last song tonight, hymn number 184. Hymn number 184, Hallelujah, What a Savior. Hymn number 184.
You open your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter number 3. And thank God we've got a wonderful Savior tonight. Amen. He is a wonderful, wonderful Savior. And I have thoroughly enjoyed from the age of 18, when I got saved with the grace of God, to the age of 48, living my life for the Lord. I have no regrets, and I don't want to turn back the clock at any, and I've got no sad stories, amen. God has been good through it all, and we certainly do praise the Lord for that. We'll go ahead and read the scriptures here tonight, and we'll do that, and then we'll go we'll pray, and then we'll get into the message tonight. 1 Corinthians chapter number 3, and let's look at verse number 5. Who then is Paul, and who is Apollos, but ministers by whom ye believed, even as the Lord gave to every man? And so as we are looking right here in verse number 5, we see that the Apostle Paul is beginning to use him and Apollos and talk about their work and their work as servants. And if you follow the book of Corinthians and read through the book of Corinthians or heard it preach, you realize they're a very carnal church, and so they've got a lot of problems, and so they're pretty much fighting. Some of them are almost fighting over who led them to the Lord, who was the one that discipled them, who was the one that God used in their lives. And so some would say, I'm of Paul, and some would say, well, I'm of Peter, and some I would say, I'm of Apollos, and the others would say, no, I'm of Jesus. And they would be fighting over that. And the Apostle Paul is going back to here, and he says, why are there so many divisions amongst you? And then he goes into this next part, and he goes, I have planted, and Apollos watered, but God gave what? The increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither is he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one. And every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are laborers together with God, for you are God's husband. Husbandry, you are God's building. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Our dear Heavenly and Precious Father, Lord, we thank you so much for this opportunity to be here tonight. Thank you so much for this wonderful church. Thank you, Lord, for their blessings. And Lord God, how they've blessed the ministry over in Burkina Faso. Their monthly financial support, their prayer support, their extra gifts that they've sent multiple times for different projects. Thank you so much for what you've done through them. I know that they've not only done that for the Shoemaker family, they've done that for other families that have went out all across this world, Lord God. They've been faithful for many, many, many years to support missions. They've not only been faithful in world missions, but they've also been faithful in their local mission to get the gospel to their Jerusalem. But I pray tonight that you would help us, Lord, tonight to get focused in on this passage of Scripture. And Lord God, I pray tonight that you would help me so that I can help your people. And Lord God, I pray that you would use this message to internally make a difference in our lives so that we might be able to further the gospel. The time is short, and Lord God, we know that we don't know when you're coming back. We don't know how much longer we'll be here on this earth, but help us to make every moment that we have left here to count for you. We certainly do love you. Pray that you'd bless this message tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. I'm very interested in what the Apostle Paul was saying right here. He says, I have planted, but Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. We basically see right here in this one verse, we see that the Apostle Paul has a job to do, and the brother here, Apollos, had a job to do, but then God has a part to do. And so basically we can pretty much give two simple points tonight. We can see God's side, but we can see our side. This is not the way that Keith Shoemaker has planted. This is not the way that Pastor Jennings has planted. This is not the way that Crooked Creek has planted. This is God's plan. This is God's method. This is God's... And it seems like today you'll hear about everybody trying to reinvent the wheel, trying to say we ought to try this and we ought to try that. And sometimes I say, well, why don't we just try Matthew chapter number 28, verse 18 through 20, where Jesus basically said, I have all power in heaven and in earth. And he says to go. And go do what? Go preach the gospel all across the world. And those that you preach the gospel to, there's going to be some of them that will get saved by the grace of God. Then you baptize them. And when you baptize them, then you teach them and you disciple them and you grow them up, and you just can keep doing that over and over and over again. And somebody asked me one time, said, well, how in the world did the ministry in Burkina Faso grow? And honestly, Matthew chapter number 28 verses 18 through 20, I believe that God's plan is the best plan. Amen. God's method is the best method, and I don't think we can get it any better than that. God made it simple. I'm a simple man. I don't like things that's complex. I don't like things that are hard to do. And now we've got to work, and we've got to labor, we've got to toil. And I think sometimes if we're not careful, we've gotten kind of lazy in the going. We've gotten kind of lazy in the work part for God. And so we've not seen the results that we want. But here, as we've seen this, the Apostle Paul is very clear. He says, I have planted. He worked. And then he says, Apollos watered. He said, but we did our part. And guess what? God gave the increase. God bless. And so tonight I want to focus in on that point number one. And we're talking about God's side. But we want to say this. There's only one Savior. There's only one Lord. There's only one salvation. And thank God for that. The same salvation that I have tonight, if you've been saved by the grace of God, is the same salvation that you have. The same eternal life that you have tonight is the same eternal life that I have tonight. And if you'll go to Canada or to Mexico or to South America, or you go to Europe or you go to Africa, and we'll go and preach the gospel. We're not preaching a different gospel. We're not preaching a different way. We're preaching that Jesus is the way. Amen. The truth and the life. That no man cometh unto the Father but by me. There is only one God. Amen. There's only one God, and there's only what? One mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. As I begin to quote that verse, I got to thinking about a young man that we have right now. His name is Julian. Julian is a blessing. Hey, he has actually left the country of Burkina Faso because the village that he was at was closed down, was run out, and he ended up going to the country of the Ivory Coast, and now he started a church, and God has used him. I think it was last year he saw 50 people saved by the grace of God. And he sent me pictures, and they're in the process of building their church building there. And he's already telling me, Pastor, we've got another village that's not too far away, and they've asked me to come over and start a church over there. And praise God for it. But Julian, years ago, and I didn't realize this, we were checking a little bit, trying to figure out some ways. There's a group that likes to support some of the national pastors as they're getting started. And so I asked them to write his testimony out. Well, I started reading his testimony, and I knew when he had gotten saved with the grace of God. I remember when the pastor that was there, that was his pastor, called me and said, praise the Lord, there was a young man that got saved with the grace of God. But that's all I knew. I knew he came, and I knew he did that, but I didn't put all the dots together. Back in 2006, we started in a village pretty far away from the capital city. We started to work there in this village. And Miss Lori, you've been there, and it's called Rungu. And we started that work out there in 2005, and then in 2006 we continued that work. But this young man Julian, he was a Catholic at the time, and he heard that we would give free Bibles away. And so he wanted a free Bible. He had no way to get a Bible. He had no way to pay for a Bible. And so he heard about this Bible. So he came and basically I think he asked for a Bible. And I don't remember this happening, but in his testimony I'm reading it. He said, I asked if I could have a Bible. And he said they gave me Bible verses to memorize. And he said that they had to be faithful to so many church services, and that's what he did. He said he finishes his church services with us. He memorized the Bible verses. He came and said it. He got his free Bible, and he left our church. And so, but he continued to read the Bible. He actually got confirmed in the Catholic Church. And because he's actually a school teacher, he knows how to teach people in their tribal language how to read and write. He was asked by the Catholic Church to help other people to come into the Catholic Church. So in 2008 and 2009, I think 2010, he was helping other people join the Catholic Church. But he said he would continue to read that Bible that we gave him. And one day he got to the Bible verse there in Timothy, "For there is one God, and there is one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus." And when he got to that there's one mediator, he began to think, and he says, why do we pray to Mary when there's only one mediator? And when he got to thinking about that, he said, he closed his Bible, and he says, I've got to go find that church where I got the Bible from. And he went and found Pastor Salif, and he went and talked to Pastor Salif, and Pastor Salif led him to the Lord. And then Julian, being that teacher that I told you about, he went from the little city that they lived in, about 20 miles away, and he was helping a village learn how to read and write. This village never has had a gospel preacher. I mean, matter of fact, they've had no religion but their traditional religion in it. He went out there, and so for the next 4 months, his job was to teach them how to read and write in their tribal tongue. Well, if you're saved by the grace of God, and you're living out with the people for 4 months, your light ought to shine. And Julian's light began to shine. And so after about a month or two of him being out there, he finally calls up Pastor Salif and says, I've been telling these other people about Jesus. Why don't you come? He said, I'll gather a few people together and you preach to them. Well, exactly what happened. Pastor Salif comes, and Pastor Salif preaches to a group of about 30 or 40, and then Pastor Salif, being at the village, calls me up and says, Pastor, can you come next week? I said, sure, what do you need me to do? Hey, he says, well, why don't you come? We'll show a gospel film, and then you preach. And so we had like 200 or 300 people come that particular night, and we had a whole bunch of people come forward, and it was a great number, and we wanted to deal with them individually, we couldn't, and so the next 20, 30 minutes, I read through the scriptures, I told them, hold on, I said, you deal with God, but praise God, through the next 3 or 4 months of going out there every Sunday, and seeing people saved, and lives being changed, and we did our baptism course, I think there was 40 people that got baptized by the grace of God. That was all because of this young man by the name of Julian. God changed his life because he realized that there wasn't two ways to get to heaven. There's not three ways to get to heaven. There's only one way to get to heaven. Amen. But so many people in this world, they don't know about Jesus. Amen. I've got a good friend of mine. Hey, he grew up in Alabama, and literally right around his house, from the Southern Baptist churches, the Independent Baptist churches, he's probably got 15 or 20 that are within a few miles of his house, and growing up to the age of 0 to the age of 18, not one church, not one member ever knocked on their door to tell them about Jesus. 15 or 20 churches, and not one. He said, I had never heard of, he said, I knew the word Jesus, but he said, I didn't know what Jesus had done. No one had ever. So sometimes we think that people in the Bible Belt, they know about Jesus. There's a lot that don't. They don't know anything about Jesus because no one's ever told them. And so, but we see right here, the Bible says right here, there's only one God, there's only one Savior. I want to tell you, if you can put that picture up of the chief right now, I want to tell you a story about, this is my good friend, the chief. There he is. And the chief, he says he's 93 years old. The Lord has allowed me to win 3 chiefs of the Lord since I've been there in Burkina Faso. And this was last year sometime, I think he was 92 at this time. And this chief is very unique. Reason why he's very unique is because I can speak to him directly. A lot of the older generation there in Burkina Faso can't speak in French. They can only speak in their tribal tongue. And so normally I have to go through an interpreter, but for him, he learned French and knows it quite well. And so I was able to go and talk to him. And I think it was about 3 years ago, we decided we were going to start a church in their particular village, about 30 minutes away from where we live. And one of the things I've learned, that you want to make sure the chief is on your side. Because if someone's against you, but the chief's on your side, you're okay. Because he's kind of like the final rule in the village. And so we went and met the chief and started a good friendship with him. And I gave him the gospel, I believe, 3 good times, maybe 4 good times. But last year, there was a point in time, and I had prayed for him off and on, but there was a point in time that God put the chief on my heart. It was like almost every day for about 2 weeks. I prayed for him. I prayed that God would help him. Every time I gave him the gospel, he'd pretty much say, well, you know, I appreciate what you've given, but all roads lead to heaven. And I would try to tell him otherwise, and we couldn't get anywhere. And so it was over and over the same thing. And so I was like, Lord, you're going to have to open up his heart. You're going to have to open up his mind. You're going to have to open up his understanding so that he can understand the grace of God and accept you as Savior. Well, after I'd been praying for him for the last couple of weeks, we were going to go for our church outreach that particular Saturday morning. And while I was driving to the church, I really felt like we needed to go out instead of going around our church. We needed to drive out where the chief was. And so we took off out there, me and a couple of young men and my family, my wife and my kids. And we took off out there, and I told them to go out from hut to hut and kind of evangelize. I said, I'm going to the chief's house. And so I went and sat down with the chief, and we small talked for 5 or 10 minutes, and then I got to talking to the chief and got back to the gospel. And so he listened very intently. But this particular morning, when I got to the point in time when I started saying this particular thought, and I said, John the Baptist, when he saw Jesus, he said, behold, the Lamb of God, which take away the sin of the world. Now, I don't know if you've ever talked with somebody like that, but or when you've seen somebody, when finally they understand something, it was almost like the chief, it was like something changed. It was something changed on his face and his expression. And I was like, man, he's finally understanding. So I continued on for a little while. And after I got done, he looked at me and he says, Pastor, he says, I want you to understand something this morning. I appreciate the counsel that you gave me. He said, I have received the counsel that you have given me this morning. And immediately when he said that, he got up and he started walking towards his little one-room house that he has there. And he walks in and he's fumbling around. I can't see him anymore. And he comes out and then he leaves out his courtyard with an empty sack in his hand. But by the time he comes back out of the main courtyard, the family courtyard, to his personal courtyard, he has a sack full of peanuts. And so he sits down and he's handing these peanuts over to me. And he says, Missionary, he says, I want you to have these peanuts. And I said, Chief, I didn't come here to get anything from you. And actually, it's not normal for someone to get something from the chief. Usually you give something to the chief. But the chief said, well, I know you came to give me something. He said, these peanuts are a token of the fact that you gave me something great. You gave me the counsel, gave me great counsel. I received your great counsel. And so I wanted to give you a gift back for what you gave me. Amen. And so a few minutes later, I'd never heard anyone express it that way. And a few minutes later, I had him bow his head and pray. But I'll be honest with you, I believe as I was preaching, I believe something, God did a work in his heart, and I believe the chief believed. Amen. It happened with Cornelius when Peter was preaching. Amen. And so praise God, the chief there. A couple of weeks later, my director there at Macedonia Road Baptist Missions, Dr. Scott Cottle, came by, and I was driving by, and I said, hey, why don't we stop and see the chief? And so we stopped by to see the chief, and I explained to the chief that this is my director. Now, I don't think he understands that we're God sent and God called and church sent and the mission's just to help. I couldn't explain all that to him. He probably wouldn't understand that. So I think he thinks the mission sent us over there. But when he got to shaking Dr. Cottle's hand very firmly, he said, Mr. President, I just want to thank you so much. Mr. Director, I just want to thank you so much for sending my good friend over here that has given me the counsel that has brought me out of the darkness and into the light. Amen. Now, I don't know if I ever talked to him about the darkness and the light. Matter of fact, I don't think I did. He understood that when he got saved by the grace of God, when he gave his heart to Jesus, he realized there was some difference in his life. And he came from the darkness and into the light, and praise God for it. And so we look at this tonight. We look at that there's a straightforwardness with the gospel. There's a sufficiency. Praise God for that. Amen. But I want to get to point number 2, and here's where I want to dwell with us for a little while tonight. And if you can go ahead and put up the other picture there, brother, if you don't mind. Here's a picture of 5 young ladies that are in our church. I was back stateside a couple years back, I was actually preaching at a church on a Sunday morning. And on this particular Sunday morning, we were in a hotel, and I was supposed to preach Missions Day for them Sunday morning, Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night. And at that moment in time, I had a different assistant pastor in the church I was at, and his name was Daniel. Daniel's a good young man. Daniel, we just sent out, this January to go and restart a church, that had some problems, and he's doing very well, and God's blessing that, and that church is growing and doing great. But Pastor Daniel, very often, he would write me about 8 o'clock, which would be about 12 o'clock their time, 12:15, and when he'd write me, because they're 4 hours ahead of us, for most of the year, and when he'd write me, I would always get that message before I came into church. And so Pastor Daniel pretty much every week would write me or give me a little voice message or something on WhatsApp. And so he would write me and different things. And I'd always be excited about what God did that morning. He would say, God blessed here. This person got saved by the grace of God. We had some visitors, just different things. But this particular Sunday morning when I was going to be preaching that service, he sent me this picture. This picture came through on WhatsApp. And when it came through on WhatsApp, I got the picture, but I got no writing. For about 5 minutes, there was still no writing. About 10 minutes after I got it. And so I'm sitting there looking at this picture for a couple times and expecting something to be written or something to be said. And nothing was said or written until about 10 minutes later. But when I looked at it, I saw three young ladies in that picture that I knew. Well, there's two young ladies that I didn't know. The one that's on the left, I knew her. The one that's in the white, I didn't know her. The one that's kind of in the pink and then the blue and the yellow, I knew them too. But the one on the light blue, I didn't know. And so Pastor Daniel began to explain to me what happened. He said that the one in the blue and the yellow, her name is Mari or Mary. And he said Mary had invited her friends to come to church. Well, he had invited them to come to church. And they'd been coming for about 2 months. And so the one in the white and the one in the light blue shirts, they are actually twin sisters. Well, I don't know which one because I can't tell them apart anyway when I look at them and all. But one of them, the week before, got saved by the grace of God. Well, this particular morning when he showed me this photo, the second one got saved by the grace of God. And well, I was excited when he sent that to me. And so I got to thinking about this. Here's Pastor Daniel that God's been using for the last couple months to preach the gospel message to these two twin sisters. They get saved with the grace of God, but their friend Mary invited them to come to church. So I got to thinking about this thought. I thought, well, who's responsible for them getting saved with the grace of God? Well, when I thought about that for just a short time, I got to thinking, well, they're both responsible for getting them saved by the grace of God. That when we look at this context of the Bible verse that we read here, when the Apostle Paul says that I have planted and Apollos watered, he's saying, who's better? Is Paul better? Is Apollos better? No, neither are better. They're just servants of God. So we saw point number one tonight. We saw God's side. There's one Savior. There's one Lord. There's one salvation. But we see the second point is simply this. There are multiple servants. And if we're going to get done the job that God wants us to do, there's going to have to be multiple servants. One person doesn't get the job done. You know, in the context of a church service tonight, we had some playing the piano. We had somebody leading the music. We had another one giving the announcement. We've got some on security. We've got some that are doing the video. And all of you participated in coming in and singing. And so a church service doesn't happen because one person does everything. A church service happens because there's a lot of people who do something. Amen. And that's the way it ought to be. And that's what God wants us to do. God never called us to be a spectator. Amen. God didn't save you to sit on the bench. God didn't save us to be bench warmers. That was what we used to say when we used to play basketball, bench warmers. God doesn't want you to be a bench warmer. Amen. And I don't know if they use that term anymore or not, but that's what we used when I was playing basketball. And those that sat on the bench were called bench warmers. But God didn't want you to be a spectator. You go to some of those big football games or big basketball games or whatever. Some of those stadiums, I think, sitting upward to 100,000 people. And there's only a few on the field really truly making a difference. You can shout, you can scream, you can holler, you can put up a sign, you can jump up and down. But honestly, you're really not making much of a difference unless you're on the field. God wants us to be on the field tonight. God wants us to make a difference. God didn't save us just to coast. God didn't save us just to go on and live the rest of our lives so someday we get to heaven. God saved us so that He can use us. It's a blessing to be used of God tonight. And so in thinking about that, we think about Mary who's over here, and she actually had the desire to bring her two twin friends to the church. They got saved with the grace of God. Pastor Daniel, we could put him right here this evening if he was here live with us in the flesh. We could stand him up right here, and I could say Pastor Daniel had a part in these two twin sisters getting saved with the grace of God. But that's not it. We've got my wife right here. Amen. And God's given me a wonderful wife. And my wife has been a blessing, not a curse. I had one missionary friend when he was teaching something. He says, what was the things that hurts the missionary the most? And he said, the number one thing is the woman, the woman, the woman, the woman. And I said, well, that's not the case for me. Amen. Praise God. And so my wife has not hindered the ministry. She's always helped the ministry. She's never hindered me from doing the ministry. She's always encouraged me to do the ministry. And I appreciate that. But not only has she encouraged me to do the ministry, my wife has been 100% in the ministry also. I've personally discipled many, many young men. My wife has probably discipled more young ladies numbers-wise than I ever have. She has them come to the house. She has the ladies. She has the young girls. They come to the house. They're over the house all the time. She talks with them. She encourages them. And there was a young girl that one of her, I say young because they came to our church when they were young. She's probably 26 now, so she's probably not young anymore. But she looked at my wife and she says, "Look." She said, "All your daughters are now getting married." She wasn't talking about Emily and Meredith. She was talking about all of the young ladies that my wife has invested her life in. Many of them are now getting married. And they've come back and they've told my wife over and over again, thank you so much for the counsel that you gave us. Thank you so much for investing in our lives. Thank you so much for what you've done. And so guess what ended up happening? There in our church that we're currently at, my wife was teaching children's church. And as she's teaching children's church, God put on her heart on a particular Sunday morning to give an invitation. And when she gave that invitation, that young lady that's in the blue and the yellow, when she was a few years younger than she is in that picture, she lifted up her hand and my wife dealt with her and she got saved with the grace of God. So if we're looking at this idea, who's invested, who's responsible for these two twin sisters getting saved with the grace of God, you can say Mary is, that's true, but you can say Pastor Daniel, but you can even put my wife right here because she's responsible. Then my daughter Emily and my other daughter Meredith, one of the things that we kind of miss, not only miss our children being with us, we miss our children in the ministry because they were active in the ministry. I mean, they taught Sunday school. They taught children's church. They went on evangelism with us. God's called Isaac to preach. God's called Caleb to preach. I mean, when we lost them, we didn't just lose a child coming back to the States to go to Bible college. We lost a servant of God in our church. And that's the way it ought to be. But Emily was, if you would have asked her then, and I don't know what she says now, but if you would have asked her then, because she would have said, one of my best friends, if not my best friend in the world, is Mary. And they were close, and Mary was over at the house. There was a time that my wife had to come back because our other daughter, Meredith, was sick. And I remember for about a month and a half that we were over there, and I remember going by a couple times the living room in the house that we're at, and I was in the hallway, and there's two double doors, and I just kind of stopped and listened for a few minutes, and I was listening to my daughter as she was discipling Mary. And then next week, I'd listen to her as she was teaching Mary how to teach the children. And then she'd say, all right, Mary, why don't you give me the lesson, tell me the lesson, and then she did. And then she told her, well, do this a little bit better, that was good, this and that. And then Mary stood up on Sunday and gave the lesson. So I believe, through this story, that not only did my wife have an impact, not only did Pastor Daniel have an impact, but I believe my daughter Emily had an impact in Mary's life. But I don't like to be left out. I don't know about you, but I don't like to be left out. Amen. When there's something going on, I like to be a part of it. Well, God called me to be a part, to actually start the church in that area.
And so we started a church in that area. We bought the piece of land, and people started coming. Mary's mother started coming. Sorry about that. Mary's mother started coming, and then when Mary's mother started coming to church, she came shortly thereafter, and then she got saved with the grace of God. And so I got to preach to her for many years. So I think if we're standing up a line right here, I think we can look at this line. We can look at Pastor Daniel. Then we can look at my wife. Then we can look at Emily. But then we can put me right there. And so you'd say, well, who's responsible for those two twin sisters getting saved by the grace of God? A little bit, all of us. Amen. And that's the beauty. That's the beauty of the gospel today. I have a friend that works with the Jews. He told me from the time that you typically give a Jewish person the gospel to the time that they finally get saved with the grace of God, it's typically more than 10 years. So typically the person who plants the seed and the person who finally waters the seed that has been growing is typically not the same person. Over 10 years. So when you give the gospel out, you never know. When you water the seed, you never know. You don't know what's going to happen. And but if we wanted to do that, I don't believe that stops the chain of events or the chain that we have here. We could put Pastor Jennings right next to me, and let Pastor Jennings represent all the churches that faithfully support us. Because this is God's plan. This is God's methods. This is the way that God made this thing work. Pastor Jennings can represent that. We could actually put one of you next to Pastor Jennings, because I don't know. I don't know Pastor Jennings' bank accounts. I don't know all this thing. But I just venture to say that Pastor Jennings is not the only one that gives the missions in here. Matter of fact, probably there's some of you that invest more in missions than he does, because maybe you have the opportunity to do more. I don't know. But I'm just saying that Pastor Jennings can't do it alone when we talk about a church. So we can put Pastor Jennings here. One of you here, and we can say in this chain that we have, in order to get the gospel to these two twin sisters, it took every one of us. But you want to know what? You pull out somebody out of that chain, you want to know what happens with the rest of it? It dies. It's broken. It doesn't work. I've got my in-laws here. I mentioned that my wife were here. We could have put my in-laws right next to my wife, or put them somewhere in this chain of events. God used them to push my wife when she was a young child to be faithful to God, and brought her to church. And when she finally said that God wanted her to be a missionary at the age of 14, they didn't say, oh, are you sure about that? They didn't say, oh, we don't have money to send you on a mission trip. You want to know what they did? They did everything possible so that she could fulfill what God wanted her to do and to be. Amen. And so you take them out of that equation and supporting their daughter and encouraging their daughter and pushing their daughter to serve God. I might not have a wife by the name of Rebecca Shoemaker. I had two friends, and I don't have time to get back into it, but I had a friend in high school. His name was Kyle. We liked to play basketball. We had a passion greater than basketball. We loved to fish. And Kyle's a great fisherman, and he's just one of those guys. We both caught a lot of fish, but we fished in tournaments. He'd always outfish me, and he's fishing some big tournaments, and he's won some big tournaments down in Florida, and actually nationally he's won some big tournaments. And there was a time that Ranger Boats was sending him a boat, loaded boat every year, and I was like, man, they can just send me one boat once, you know, that's all I need. And but every year he'd get a nice loaded boat. And but we'd be driving down the road to go fishing. And he'd start telling me about Jesus. He'd start asking me questions. Why do you pray to Mary? He'd ask me questions about why do you do this and why do you do that? And I'd say, I don't know. And I didn't realize I was lost at that moment in time. But I realized something. I realized he had something with a relationship with God that I didn't have. And I realized I wanted that. And so I prayed. I said, God, would you open up the doors and allow me to go to the place where I can find the truth? And God did. God shut the doors down. God left one door open. I ended up in Rome, Georgia at Shorter College playing basketball. And guess what God did? God put my room right next to another young man that loved Jesus. that young man started a Bible study. I started going to Bible study. After 2 months of Bible study, guess what happened? I finally realized that if you would have asked me before all of this, if I was a sinner, I would have said yes. You know, sometimes we tell people when you're evangelizing, you just got to get someone to confess they're a sinner. Well, I think most Americans know they're sinners. Here's the difference. Most Americans will say they're sinners, but they don't know they're lost. You have to realize you're lost before you can get saved by the grace of God. If you would have said, Brother Keith, were you a sinner? Did you know you were a sinner as a Catholic growing up? Sure, I knew we were a sinner. That's why we went to the priest and asked the priest to forgive us of our sins. Because we knew we were sinners. But if you would have said, are you lost and going to hell? I said, no way. I've got my faith in the church. I got my faith in baptism. I got my faith in works. I got my faith in Mary. And I got my faith in Jesus. But that particular night, there in 2005, I realized that the only one that could save me was Jesus. And I got saved with the grace of God. And so we could put my friend Kyle here, or we could put my friend Jason here. Kyle has never stood behind a pulpit and preached the gospel message. But because Kyle gave the gospel to me when we were in a public high school, a big public high school, when there was other people, I've come to find out later, I knew there was something different about them. But they never once told me about Jesus. Some of them, we were friends. Sometimes we even talked. Sometimes we were in the same classes. I realized they didn't act like the rest of us. I realized they didn't do what the rest of us did. I realized they had a better spirit, a better attitude, everything else. But you know what? That was good. But they never opened up their mouth to tell us about Jesus. But thank God there was a young man by the name of Kyle Walters that told me about Jesus. Amen. And that made all the difference in my life. And so we see this chain of events. And so this young man by the name of Kyle, literally, if he wouldn't have opened his mouth in high school, tonight I might not be saved with the grace of God. And so this whole long chain of events that we said, that picture right there, everything would turn black. Everything would be erased. Your life matters. What you do matters. It makes a difference. For the positive, or maybe for the negative. And I don't know about you, but I want my life to count for Jesus. Amen. I want my life to count for Him. And so, I don't know how many of you tonight, is there anybody here that likes to make puzzles? Anybody do puzzles? Oh, we've got a few that do puzzles. We've done some puzzles. I've gotten myself in trouble saying this, and I'm not saying this. If you've bought a nice painting for your wall, I'm not against that, okay? This is just Keith Shoemaker. I walked into one of those art galleries one day, and I was looking at these paintings, and I'm like, wow. You know, they had some of those Thomas Kincaid paintings, and I'm looking, and I'm like, wow, those are beautiful. I'd like to have one of those hanging on the wall in my living room. And if you've got one, I said this a while back, and a lady came up to me apologizing. You don't have to apologize tonight. This is Keith Shoemaker. I looked at that, and I looked at the price tag, and said, I don't think I want one that bad. That's me. I'm cheap. And so I said, I'll just keep my bare wall. I'm not against you if you've got one. My mom's got one. I'm not talking about bad about her tonight. But I was walking through Walmart or somewhere. I can't remember exactly where I was. And I looked at walking by the puzzle. Hey, you know what? That's a Thomas Kincaid puzzle. I said, that only costs $10. I like that a whole lot better. Amen. And so we'd buy those 1,000-piece puzzles. We've made a number of them. We put glue on them. We put them up on the wall. We put them somewhere, kind of, you know, as a painting or something to decorate the wall. And that's what we've done. And but there's one thing I don't like about puzzles. Maybe some of you have never had it happen to you, but it's happened to us. When you get down to the end and you're missing a piece or two, 999 pieces, and you're missing one. Has anyone ever had that happen to you? Oh, we've got a few. What have you done with the puzzle? Has anyone glued it and put it up? You have. With a missing puzzle piece? You filled it. Someone else told me that. I usually get so frustrated I don't even have time to fill it in. We leave it there for a few days, thinking that piece is going to turn up. And then after a few days, I just said, forget it, and I throw it in the trash. It'd be a whole lot better if I just filled it in. Because somebody said you can't see it when you got a whole bunch of, and you're probably true. But when we look at this chain that we've got right here, we could have added people to this chain. We could have done more chains. There's chains that your life's involved in. If you understand what I'm saying. But if you're not doing what God wants you to do, You're like a missing puzzle piece. You're missing. That puzzle just doesn't look right. I don't know about you, but when the Lord saved me, I just wanted to give Him my life. I just wanted to serve Him. I know a lot of people, I didn't really feel like I could preach. That was because I didn't like to speak in front of people. But I've had other people say, I ran from God. I mean, I kind of ran from the call to preach a little bit, but I wasn't running from God. I wanted to give Him everything. Because He was the only one that was worthy. Amen. The God of heaven that loved me enough to die for me is the same God of heaven that wanted to use my life. And so when God said, I want you to go be a missionary, I didn't run from that. I said, God, praise God. I want to be a missionary. I had a friend of mine who said when he started having a desire to be a missionary, he thought he had heard so many stories about so many people running away from the call to be a missionary. He thought, this can't be a God because I'm supposed to run from it. Well, you don't have to run from the call of God. You can love the call of God. You can love the will of God. You can love the work of God. You can love the church of God. Every one of us matters tonight. Every one of us. That's what this Bible's teaching us. There's multiple servants. Keith Shoemaker can't get the job done. Pastor Jennings can't get the job done. But I believe this with all my heart. I believe this with all my heart. I believe that if God's people tonight, all over this world, would rise up. I'm not talking about other denominations. I'm talking about just in our independent, fundamental Bible and Baptist churches. If we'd all rise up and we'd be serious and we'd give our lives and we'd give what we have, I believe we could see this world evangelized. I believe that with all my heart. I believe we've got enough money. I believe we've got enough means. I believe we've got enough talent. I believe we've got enough. The problem is, there's a whole lot of spectators. There's a whole lot of missing links tonight. So God gives the increase. But you know what we've got to do? We've got to plant. And we've got to water. Let's pray tonight. Our dear Heavenly and Precious Father, we thank You so much for this wonderful that You've given us. Thank You, Lord, for allowing me to be back at Crooked Creek Baptist Church. What a wonderful church. What a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful group of people. Got to see some of the members that I've known for so long. They've been so faithful to this church, been so faithful to the ministries, been so faithful to give, so active and so in so many different areas. Thank You for their faithfulness, Lord. But Lord, as I talked about that chain tonight, I want to pray that, Lord God, You'd help me at the age of 48 years old, to continue to do what I need to be so that I never become the missing link. But Lord, I pray for everybody tonight that You'd help all of us to be faithful so that we can be not the missing link, but we could be a chain that would lead others to Christ. We certainly do love You tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Just spend a few more moments in prayer, and if there's something that God's just working in your heart, this is a great opportunity to just take it and give it to God. You know, He just talked about being that missing link. Is there a spot in your life where you are just missing what God's called you to be? You know, just take this time and present it to God. It's been a great day of worship, and I'm just so thankful for an opportunity to have a church family that comes out on a Sunday evening and hears the Word of God preached. It's just been a blessing today to be a part of that. We will be taking a love offering tonight for the Shoemaker family, and so if you'd like to, just donate that on an envelope in front of you and place an offering plate on your way out. We'll make sure that gets to the Shoemaker family. But wasn't that a blessing today? Just a great message and a great reminder about how God can use even us all the way around the world in Burkina Faso. And I'm just so thankful for that. I'm thankful for the reminder today. And just an awesome opportunity for us to partner alongside with God's work all across the world. So it's been a great day. Just as another reminder, just that we will have the Friday night fellowship on Friday night, on the 4th. We will not have a Wednesday night service. I know I've mentioned that twice today, but I was told both times I forgot to mention we will not have a Wednesday night service. So there's no Wednesday night service this week, but we will have our fellowship on Friday night. So if you show up on Wednesday night, you'll be here by yourself praising the Lord in the parking lot, and it'll be a good time. But on Friday night, we'll all be here. So just come and be a part of our fellowship and fireworks on Friday night, and we'll have just a blessed evening. Keith and Rebecca, if y'all would like to go ahead and head to the back, I'll close this in prayer, and then we will have that opportunity to fellowship at the end of church. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much just for how you've moved in your house today, God. I thank you for the faithful work of your people, even across the world in Burkina Faso, God, and how we can hear stories of what you're doing, God, and the work that started right here in Athens, Georgia, God, in Jackson County and South Jackson, God, and you're taking it all the way across the world to reach lost souls that you are seeking for your kingdom, God. I pray that you would help us to never forget the importance of missions, God, and our ministry and missions, God. Help us to be faithful here in our place, God, and help us to continue to be that link, God. Help us to be strong and not to be bystanders, God, but to step forward and to be on the front lines, to be faithful for your work, God. I thank you for Keith and Rebecca, God. I thank you for how you've used them all these years, God. I thank you for the faithful testimony that they gave of their family, God, and the heritage that you've given them to pass down, God. I thank you that you continue to use their children to do great things for you as well. God, we love you and we thank you for this day. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Y'all have a great night, church.